see if we be in the faith, that we're in the way, that we're living the life, the holy life that God's called us to. And you know what? If there's some things you find along the way that need to be reconciled between you and God, please do it tonight. More than anything, I want you to leave here tonight refreshed with a new start. I need a new start almost every other day. I wake up sometimes and I sin, and I don't get very far out of the bed before I start off the bad path. So tonight, what I want to do is, when you leave here tonight, my hope is that you're refreshed, you're ready to serve the Lord again. So that's a little different tonight. So, and by the way, I got to wear my glasses, so I can't see this. So I apologize for that. And so we're going to pray here in a minute, and then we'll look at some scriptures. Alrighty? Let's bow our hearts. Holy Father, we do bow our hearts to you, Lord God. And Father, tonight I pray that you would shine your light into each one of our hearts, that you would help us examine our hearts, to speak to us on a level where if we need to repent, Lord, then that's what we need to do. I pray that you would help us with our sin, that we would get rid of it, that we would violently reject it from this day forward, Lord God, whatever it may be. And that tonight, Lord, refresh us. Let us leave here tonight with just a fresh start, Lord God, with you. And Lord, we do lift up Tony to you. We ask that you would just watch over him, that you would bless him as he is traveling around back east. And please bring him back to us safely and recharged, Lord. Thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, Tony's been in the book of Romans here on Wednesday nights. And I'm a little hot, guys, if you could turn it down a little bit. He said something that's been bouncing around in my head for about a week, just constantly just coming back. So I'm taking that as if it's the Holy Spirit trying to get my attention. And what he said is this, that the law is like a mirror, which, you know, reflects who we are. And so, you know, tonight we're going to look into the Word, and we want to see ourselves. We want to see the dirt that has collected on our face, maybe. You know, and I know, ladies, that you hate to do your makeup in front of these type of lights because it shows everything, right? You know, you want some soft lighting, I guess. But tonight, we really want, my hope is, and I believe the Holy Spirit would have us really examine deeply to really come true and real with the Lord. So we're going to look into that mirror, and whatever you find, get rid of it. Wash it off. Now, even the priesthood back in the day when the temple stood, before this, the priest even served, they bent over and they washed their hands, and it gave them an opportunity to see the reflection in their face. And so even then, before they even served, they were already examining their hearts. And so you're all servants of the Lord. We're all servants of the Lord. We're servants of the Most High God, right? At least I hope you're in that mind frame. You know, I was a firefighter for Christ for most of my career. I hope whatever you do, if you're a teacher or whatever, that you're a teacher for Jesus Christ. And so however you're employed, you're employed by God to bring glory and honor to Him. So just remember that. So here's one thing that somebody said, that the relationship with Jesus Christ, the union that we have with Him, is so strong that nothing can break it. But the communion, the intimacy with Jesus Christ, is so fragile that one sin can break it. And so tonight we want to just examine again ourselves. Now, in Ephesians, I don't have this up there, guys, but in Ephesians 4:30, if you were to look at that, Paul talks about, to that church, about grieving the Holy Spirit. And then there's a laundry list after that. But he's talking to Christians. And we need to remember that this thing called Christianity is not religion. It's about relationship. And there are times when we grieve the Spirit of God. And so tonight, we want to find out how we might do that. And, you know, we're at various stages in our walk. Some of us are brand new Christians. Some of us have been walking for quite some time. And so, you know, tonight let the Holy Spirit examine your heart. Now, there's going to be, you know, as I talk about, we'll briefly look at 1 Corinthians. In fact, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Put something in there, and then put something over in Proverbs, or not, yeah, 1 Corinthians 13, Proverbs 6. Shove something in there. There's on the back of your seats there, there are a couple of papers you can use. Proverbs 6, let's see, Galatians chapter 5. So there's, we're going to bounce around quite a bit there. So Proverbs 6, Galatians 5, 1 Corinthians 13. Give you a few seconds there. 5. Now, one of the things today that we see, and there's this avoidance about the talking of sin. Aaron and I were watching one of these TV evangelists, and, you know, for the 30 minutes that he was on, I didn't hear him speak once about sin. And, you know, if we're avoiding sin, what we're really avoiding is the sanctification process, right? So we need to understand that we have been sanctified by the Lord. Okay? We've been set apart. It's a fancy word for being set apart. He has set us apart for Himself, but we also need to set ourselves apart for Him. And the way we do that is we become sanctified. We look at our flesh and we try to reject it and get rid of it. And so if you're trying to avoid sin, the teaching of sin in a church, you're avoiding the sanctification process. You're actually hurting the flock, so in my opinion. So that's what we want to do tonight. So anyway, let's see. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 4, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." So sanctification, again, it's the setting of oneself apart for the Lord. And we need to figure out, we need to learn that. As we go through, as we walk our walk with the relationship with the Lord each day, He wants to reveal to us things, problems in our life, sin. And so we need to set apart the Lord. We need to understand, too, that we are a kingdom of priests. Did you know that? Do you realize that? That in Revelation 1, 5, and 6, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." We are a kingdom of priests, which means we're mediators between God and mankind. But in that process, we get a little dirty. In fact, you remember Jesus the night before His crucifixion in the foot washing episode. You know, He told His disciples, "Hey, basically you're clean, but you're a little dirty here, and we need to wash this." And He washed their feet. And so tonight we want to really examine our hearts and be washed tonight. And remember, I don't want this to be so heavy on you that you're crushed by it all, but that you come to the conclusion that you place all your sins under the blood of Christ tonight. So with that, let's go to Exodus 30, 19 back there. "For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, and shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute for them forever." So again, washing hands and feet. Hands are representative of what we do. Our feet are representative of where we go, where our feet take us. And so we periodically need to examine ourselves to see if we've gotten a little dirty in the service of the Lord. So we're going to do that. And in order to minister, we really need to be clean. And so tonight, I want you to leave here washed and ready to go for tomorrow morning as you get up and serve the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 1, it says in verse 16, he says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land." And, you know, I've said this before, but when you look at the book of Joshua, as they crossed over the Jordan River, if you read Joshua, you'll understand, or at least you should understand, that crossing over is basically it's a relationship, it's symbolic of our crossing over into a relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. And the land, for them to occupy the land was dependent on them being obedient to the Lord in every aspect of their life. And if they weren't obedient, then they had troubles in the land. And they weren't to compromise with those who were in the land. In fact, they were supposed to do battle and get rid of all the Canaanites and also the giants, the Rephaim. And tonight you may have a giant in your life that you're struggling with. You just seem to you can't overcome this giant, this sin, whatever it may be. By Jesus Christ, you can conquer, and through faith, if you look at all of those battles as they marched through the land, all they had to do was show up, and it was the battle belonged to the Lord. And the Lord will overcome these things, but you've got to walk in faith, and you've got to walk in such a way that you need to be washed and cleansed and clean, and you want to have your heart that way. And so we really want to wash ourselves. And, you know, again, hands and feet are symbolic of what we do and where we go. So we need to pay attention to those things. And occupying the land, again, is symbolic of our relationship with the Lord. If we are disobedient, we are not going to have a very good time. We're not going to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. We're not going to enjoy the fruit of the land. Okay, let me put it in those terms. So we really want to enjoy our relationship with the Lord. So we want to really look at our lives and examine our hearts to see if we are in the way here. So if you'll go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I know I told you 13, we'll be there too. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And in this is the teaching on the communion. And Paul describes the appropriate way of taking communion. Now, talking to them about divisions. Some of them were drunk during this time. Some were taking 3 hamburgers and 2 hot dogs, while others had none. You know, that's a little reference to our our barbecues on Sunday. But we don't have anybody that does that, by the way. But that was the problem there, that they were just running amok at a time when it was supposed to be a special time of fellowship between each other and the Lord. And they were making some huge mistakes. So because of this, Paul felt it necessary to instruct them on how to conduct communion. Now, we don't conduct communion anywhere like they used to in the first century. You know, we have a little cracker and the grape juice. But the main emphasis here is the examination of the heart. So verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So this whole communion aspect is about remembering the Lord and what he's done for us. His going to the cross, his being beaten, you know, the bloodshed and, you know, the nails and all of that. But also the beauty of the resurrection 3 days later. All right. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord. Now, let me back up. Verse, let me read 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And again, there is no rules as to how often you take communion. And periodically, I've done it. I've done it at work in a fire camp one time. We just had an incredible shift, and I just wanted to praise the Lord, and I just wanted to have some sweet time. And in the privacy of my little tent, I got a cracker and from fire camp and a little thing of juice, and I went and I had communion. I wanted to worship the Lord, and I wanted to thank Him for the great. The night before, we had an incredible firefight that was just amazing, and I just wanted to praise the Lord and thank Him for all that He'd done for that night. So there's no rules and regulations other than, as you remember this, that you examine your heart. So he says in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So, you know, as we do the communion, we don't want to do it in an unworthy manner. We want to make precious that sacrifice that the Lord made for us. You know, we want to keep it precious. If we don't consider ourselves as we partake of the bread in the cup, then we're basically, God's going to spank us eventually. In fact, He says that. He says, but let a man examine himself, verse 28, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. If you do it in an unworthy manner, it says that you will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. We need to have that as precious in our sight. And by just living a life of sin, if we don't care, if we nonchalantly just live our lives according to the standards of this world, that's what we're doing to the cross. We are making it as not precious anymore. So that's what we want to do. So examine means to try to determine the genuineness of your heart. That's what that word means there. So the genuineness, the purity of your heart as you serve the Lord. How genuine has your relationship been with the Lord? How genuine has your walk been? Have you just been going through the motions? Have you really considered? Do you wake up every morning with Jesus on your breath? I mean, it's a struggle for me. We all have struggles, but I mean, we need to examine ourselves and remember that this is about relationship and not religion. It's all about relationship. So that's precious. That should be precious to us. And is your walk genuine? Verse 29, he says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Okay, to eat and drink in an unworthy manner is to not regard what the Lord went through for you, for me. So we really want to examine our hearts tonight. For this reason, he says in verse 30, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. In other words, many die. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Now let me ask you, who wants to be chastened by the Lord here? And you know what? His chastening is perfect. I've been spanked. I'm sure a lot of you have been spanked by the Lord. And you know what? It's no fun. But He will do it because He loves us. And He wants to get us back on track. So tonight, it's about getting back on track. So, we're going to go through the first test here. So go ahead and flip over to Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 16 through 19. Now, we're going to look at seven sins that the Lord considers disgusting. Okay? And, you know, for a long time I thought in these terms that, you know, sin is just sin. It's all one big pile. But, you know what? The Lord does chisel out some as worse than others. Now, a lot of times our definition of what one sin is worse than another changes or is different. But God has His own definition of what is the worst of the worst. And in these verses, we'll find that. And here's another thing you need to understand, too. And this is what the church today does not understand, is that God is immutable. That is a $4 word that basically means He is unchanging. He will not change. He cannot change. His character and nature is holy and good and righteous. Everything that He does is good. And it's only because that's all He can do. In Malachi 3:6, He says, Malachi says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." If these sins that we're about to look at, if 1,000 years ago, or several thousand years ago, a couple thousand years ago, if the Lord says, you know what, I do not change, that means ever. He can't change who He is. He can't change His character and nature. And if He hated it then, He certainly hates it now. And right now in the church, we see a particular sin now, talked about almost daily in the news, that is actually promoted as good now, a type of behavior that is actually destructive. And God has not changed His mind on that behavior or any of the behaviors that He considers sin. What is sin today is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so He does not change. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what God says is bad or disgusting 10,000 years ago, 10,000 years from now, it'll still be disgusting and abominable to Him then. So we need to get that in our minds, that He is unchanging. He won't change His mind on sin. And there's a reason for that. Because we need to understand this, that sin destroys us. He hates anything that touches His kids. He hates sin because it hurts us. That's why He hates it. Now, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, before we get into the rest of this, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." Now, this is one that you put in the memory banks here. God is actually looking for those who will be loyal to Him. He's actively engaged in looking for those people. And may that be you, may that be me. May we be loyal to the Lord and not to ourselves, not to our flesh especially. Now, let's look at the attitudes and the behaviors that God hates here. Now, in verse 16, it says, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him." Now, the number seven is the number of completeness. So, you know, this is a perfect number here. It's a perfect... it can't get worse than this as far as sin goes. Okay? This is all just totally... in fact, if you look in the Hebrew, it's matter of fact. I mean, it's unchanging. These particular traits that we're going to read about, that if He finds them in a person, that they're unwilling to change in these behaviors, then there's nothing left for them to do but be cast out into the lake of fire. But He says, "For these six things the Lord hates, just as seven are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and he who sows discord among the brethren." Now, what these verses describe is Satan himself. And there is no... Satan will not change. He hates God and he will not change. And these are traits of Satan. Well, guess what? The scripture is pretty clear that there's only two families on earth. When you're first born in the flesh, you're born under the God in the family of Satan. You must become born again, and you must be adopted by the Lord God. And so, you know, we have, I hope everybody in the room has transitioned from the family of Satan to the family of God. But these traits are found in those who are of Satan. Now, a proud look. You know, the root of this, and you remember the rolling of the eyes, you know, when you see something, you kind of roll your eyes. That's kind of what it's referring to here. But a proud look can be, you know, the nose in the air, you're not good enough for me to look upon, or, you don't ever acknowledge anybody or a particular person for some reason. Pride is the root, is the source of this, and pride is what Satan, that's the heart of Satan. He said, I will ascend the throne. What he did is he placed himself above God. That's what pride does. Now, think about your own life. Are there areas in your life where you're putting yourself ahead of God? Or, you know, that's the vertical relationship. What about the horizontal relationship? Are you looking down on somebody because of the way they dress or the job they have or, you know, their bank account or what have you or the color of their skin? You know, if you're doing that, that is pride. And God considers pride an abomination. So should we have or be partaking of that sort of attitude as his kids? And so just like, remember I talked about Joshua and the crossing over the Jordan River and the occupation of the land, you know, they had to chase the Canaanites from the land and the Rephaim. We should be attacking sin in our life as aggressively as the Jews did when they crossed over the Jordan. You remember they went right into the Battle of Jericho, then the Battle of Ai, and so on and so forth. We need to be hunting down sin, and especially pride in our life, wherever we find it, and we must be, with extreme prejudice, get rid of it out of our life. It is an abomination to the Lord. A lying tongue. Okay? That's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. In fact, this whole list here is pretty straightforward. Hands that shed innocent blood. I mean, it goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. You know, and I know Satan was right there whispering in his ear, but pride is what motivated him to kill his brother Abel. And so, really, if you look at this whole list, it's kind of like a weed in a garden. And if you look at weeds, they have a tap root and some primary roots and then some secondary roots. If you clip the tap root, guess what? The whole root dies, right? Well, pride is the tap root here. And basically, every sin that we commit or is committed in pride. So if we go after that, if we chase after it, if we be aggressive in our hearts and our lives to get rid of pride, then we're going to solve a lot of these other issues. But if we work backwards, you know, it's going to take some time. So a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Now think about this. That blood is, if you read the Old Testament, you understand what contaminates the land? It's blood. The shedding of innocent blood. That's what pollutes a land. Now we consider our country and the abortion aspect. Our land is polluted right now. We are in the business of murdering innocent children. And there's gonna, you know, we're gonna reap the whirlwind. I fear for this country. A heart that devises wicked plans. I can think of, you know, back there was a time I was driving down the freeway and I was driving a little too fast and I saw a CHP go the other way, California Highway Patrol. And I was in a company car, in a fire department vehicle. And I wasn't going to a call, I was just speeding. And at the time I saw the car go by, I thought, oh, if he whips around, okay, this is what I'm going to tell him. And I start devising this plan to be able to talk to him, to tell him to get out of a ticket. And I was, all of a sudden I just realized, what are you doing? All of that's a lie, you know. And the deceitfulness of my own heart, it amazes me. And in fact, Jeremiah talks about that. That the deceitful of the heart is beyond measure. And so, you know, again, be looking for those things in your life that, if you're developing wicked plans, to get out of a ticket, you know, to be able to talk your way out of something. That's just, it's just wickedness. A false witness who speaks lies. False witness, putting somebody away with a lie. God hates all of these stuff. And you might think, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I haven't been involved in any of these. Well, we've got some more lists to go, another test to go. But get this, sowing discord among the brethren. And that is one of the things that God just really hates. And think about if you're spreading gossip within the church. If you heard something about somebody and you didn't go to them and talk to them about it face to face, and you spread that word, which is probably true untruth, what you're actually doing is you're sowing discord. You're breaking the fellowship between brothers and sisters. And that is a horrible thing to do in the sight of God. So we need to really watch how we behave, the things that we say about people, to people. You know, if we hear gossip, you know, don't do it. Because if it's not true, you're sowing, and you spread it, you're sowing discord among the brethren. So we don't want to be a part of any of that. So we must pursue these things again, like Joshua and the Jews chasing the Canaanites out of the land. Okay, now let's flip over to Galatians. This is the second test. Now, you probably did pretty good through the first one. You thought, wow, that wasn't too bad. You know, I'm not part of those things. I don't spread gossip, blah, blah, blah. Well, let's look at this here. Before we get into we're going to look at verse 13 through 17, but I want to put Romans 8:5 up here. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, set on the things of the flesh, but those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And then in Romans 8:13 it says, for if you live according to the flesh, Spirit. So again, having the same mind frame. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but we need to agree with God about what is sin. We need to have the same opinion about it. And again, His opinion doesn't change. And so as we look at this next list, we need to have the right mind. We need to really evaluate if we've been living in the flesh. So verse 13 says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, but only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will. So if I'm living a life where I'm putting myself before my neighbor, and I'm doing it willingly, knowingly, if I know that I'm in sin, when it comes to the prayer life, God is not going to hear your prayer. And you know what? I want to have my prayers heard. I want to be able to go cleanly before the Lord and just have immediate relationship and fellowship with Him. So we need to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to kill the flesh. In Psalm 102, it says, He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. Now, here's the thing, is that maybe tonight, after we go through this list, you're going to feel a little destitute, a little humbled. That's okay, because that's a good place to start, is humbling yourself before the sight of the Lord and let Him lift you back up. And so, as we look at verse 17, it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Okay, now again, here we go back to the spotlight. The whole reason why we're here is we need to examine our hearts to see if this be in us. Okay? Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Now adultery, again, if you're married, that's having a lustful thought. It's adultery is just having lustful thoughts over someone who's not your partner. And so this is destructive behavior. Again, all these things, this flesh is destructive, and we need to hunt it down and we need to kill it. So if you're struggling with lusting, remember Jesus says if you look to lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. If you look, the sin has already occurred just in the desire to look. And so we need to be careful about that. If you're struggling with lust tonight, if you need to repent. You need to bring that before the Lord tonight. Okay? Fornication, porneia. Again, this word is all over the place. Pornography. And it's not just a man problem anymore. It seems to be a woman's problem too these days. That if you're actively engaged in viewing pornography, you're feeding the flesh. You're allowing that flesh to live. And it's time tonight to repent of that. It's time to put that under the blood of Jesus Christ and be refreshed and renewed. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. You know, there's so many shows on nowadays. Psychics. One time I had a psychic call me, and I wished I'd, after I hung up, I thought, you know what, I should have told her future. But she called me and she said, "Hi, I'm a psychic. Can I tell you your future?" And I said, "No," and I hung up. But I wish I had stayed on the line and told her about her future. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on this day about psychics. It's nonsense. Repent of it. Reject it. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. And again, remember what Jesus said about murder. That if I, you know, he said that, you know, if I don't like, what did he say? Can someone help me out? he said, if you have anger in your heart towards your brother without cause, you've committed murder in your heart. Okay? Is there someone in your life where you refuse to give them the time of day? You can't stand them. According to the scriptures, this is murder. So we need to repent of that. We need to put that under the blood of Jesus. And he says, goes on, and it talks about drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. So that's how you do it, is you crucify those passions and the desires. And you start out first thing in the morning. You just start telling yourself, no. Crucify the flesh. Those things that are listed here, that you need to crucify them. Put them on the cross. Don't let them live anymore. Kill them. Search them out and kill them with extreme prejudice. Now, we don't have time to go through the third test, so I'm going to get right to the chase here. If you found tonight that you've been involved with some of these things, here's the great news, is that in John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've tonight allowed the Holy Spirit to shine into your heart and you've been exposed, confess these sins to Jesus Christ and repent. That means have a changed mind, start thinking differently, and don't be involved in it anymore. What are you allowing to live in your life that you need to crucify? Tonight's the night to crucify it, to get it covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. What did you see in the mirror tonight? Well, if you found some sin, we're going to deal with it right now. In a few minutes, I'm going to let you guys come up on your own time. Go ahead and I'll take the lids off here, and you guys can come up and get before the Lord and just confess your sins that you've discovered tonight and partake of the bread and of the grape juice. And remember that His body was broken, pierced for you, that He shed His blood for all these sins. And start afresh tomorrow. You can start with that tonight. So in Romans 5:20 it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." The thing you need to understand tonight is if you found some sin, God's got grace for it. He wants to wash you and clean you, and He wants you to have a fresh start, even tonight. So what I'm going to do, that's it for tonight. I'm going to give you 5 or so minutes. You can come up, each one of you, go ahead and take the bread and the wine, go back to your seat, talk with the Lord, confess your sin, repent of it, and then I'll have, after you guys, most everybody's gone through this, then we'll have the worship team come up and finish with a song of worship, and we'll be done for the night. So, come on in. Let me get these.